Good morning, boys, girls, moms, and dads, children of all ages, ships at sea in the dark of night or the brightness of day. We are all here. We're looking for answers. Answers about the fish. Answers about anything. Who knows? This is 2016. I think it's proved that anything can happen this year and probably will. You know, my fishing Frank in the chair across from me is Vinny. Vinny's Mad World of Fishing. He's getting some of the stuff together. His show will be back on very soon. In the meantime, he's stuck with me. Hey, Vinny, what's up?
Hey, Frank.
How
you doing?
I don't know. It's just everything's so crazy nowadays. I don't care from the weather. We got El Nino that's messing up with the weather. We got politics are in a mess. We got fish coming, fish going. We got to redo all the tarpon maps today because there wasn't hardly any tarpon. A few, you know, crazy rogue tarpon that were somewhere else, but the big bunch, the vast majorities were all in Boca Grande Pass.
Yeah, and the beach areas.
Yeah, I mean, but they weren't far from the pass. I mean, if you weren't around the pass, you weren't seeing anything. From what I hear right now, the sightseeing is amazing out there. I don't know why I'm drifting off the subject, but let's drift off the subject. If you've got some guests down right now, you know, family, friends, you just want to do something, take the boat out, cruise along the beach, put in at Placida or drive out to Boca Grande Pass and just idle through the pass, make a left over towards the shoals, idle around. You're going to see big sharks in the water. If you idle back up towards Gasparilla, you've got manatees and baby manatees. There's dolphins. There's rays. The water's pretty clear out there. And there's just an amazing assortment of wildlife. I mean, you know, people trek through the woods to go eco-touring to see all the birds and animals and all that stuff. And we've had several people talk about how much fun they've had just looking at what's out there. Even not even catching, just looking.
Yeah. I mean, the water clarity is really good this time of year. I know if I recall this time last year, water clarity, especially in the harbor, was, you know, day and night difference.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty clear even in the harbor right now.
So, I mean, down the east side, one of the things I used to love to do was just drift down that east side. I'd get up by the bar, as shallow as my boat would go, turn the motor off, and kind of let the breeze or the tide just take me along, and just watch the sharks and the trout and all these fish and rays and all these crabs and everything else just go crawling off. Now, I always said it was because I was scouting fish to see where they were hanging out, but it was so cool seeing everything else. Mesmerizing.
Well, you know, Frank, what was really cool, you had been talking about the big school of drum that was moving through the harbor.
It's an amazing...
It's a sight. Darlene and I got on them two weeks ago.
So, now, how did you... You're in the boat. Did you see them? Did they come to you? Did you go to them?
No, we saw them. We were clipping along, heading south, between Burnt Store and the South Hole.
Okay.
And we saw fish rolling on top of the water.
So they were actually like kind of porpoising,
we're seeing
dolphin,
some tails. Yeah.
You know,
and
breaking the surface of the water. You saw these fish breaking the surface. Because I was wondering about, what did you actually see that attracted you to it? Is there anything significant that stuck out in your mind about, you know?
We saw fish rolling. We saw tails coming out of the water, and we thought it was tarpon because they were pretty big, what we saw coming out of the water. So we turned on them and kind of eased up to them and then just idled up, and it was actually pretty amazing. I would say imagine a football field sized area,
right,
with thousands of big black drum from the surface level as far down to the bottom.
Now, a lot of people talk about the water's kind of stained or a little bit muddy where that school's going through. Did you notice any of that?
Yes, it was like a cloud all the way around them. And they were not spooky at all. We eased up on them with the trolling motor, and we had them right under our... We had them around our boat in all directions. And they weren't spooky. They weren't running from us. Nothing. They were just all around the boat and... Like I said, 100 yards each direction, all these drum. It was amazing.
Yeah, that silt and that muddy kind of color of the water, if you don't see them breaking the surface and you're going across the harbor and you see what looks like a mud trail, dirt trail going along, it's because those fish, like Vinny said, are literally from the surface all the way down to the bottom, and they're stirring up the bottom so much, and then the other fish are stirring it up, and it just brings all that silt right up to the surface. And basically, you got to think like a smoke trail. If it looks a little narrower one way than the other way, that's the direction the fish are heading.
Mm-hmm.
The longer the fish have been gone, the wider or more dispersed that cloud will be. So you can actually go out and literally see the trail. You can track them down.
Yeah. Well, I'll call it a school, even though it was a metropolitan city worth of fish. It was heading, you know, like I said, we got on them between Burnt Store and the Southern Hole, and they were heading up into the harbor, so they were heading up towards Middle Hole, and we sat on them for hours, and I'm going to say we lost count on how many we caught. Now, it was interesting. They weren't at first not interested in anything, and all of a sudden we started catching them on live shrimp, and then that stopped, and we started throwing cut ladyfish, and they started hitting it. But it was pretty.
Now, what kind of tackle are you using? Because these are some pretty big fish. What was the rod of choice?
We were using, you know, 3,000 class spinning reels. You know, Darlene's using 12-pound mono, and with a fluorocarbon leader. But the good thing is I was using 15-pound braid. When you catch them, you know, you're in open water. But what was wild was when you're hooked up and they go down, you can feel your line thumping all the fish as that fish is running around and moving around.
And the other fish are running into your line.
They're running into your main line. The biggest fear we had was snapping our main line because it kept thumping all these other fish. But we'd never experienced it as long as we've lived here. I know you had talked about them being out there, and we stumbled on them. And once you got on them, they weren't running away. They weren't afraid of us. They just stayed with us for hours.
That's amazing, because usually I get on them, and most often they're moving off, and I have a hard time keeping up to them, and they're on the way somewhere. And you got into school that was actually there feeding, spawning, whatever they were doing at that moment. But when you were throwing the shrimp, did you have bobbers, sinkers, free line?
Free line. We just free lining it and letting it just sink on into the pack.
Now, when they hit, was it kind of a real sharp hit, kind of a dull and then a long pull?
You didn't hardly even feel a hit. You could just start to feel a pull on the line and it heading off. And you knew you had a fish on.
So how long was the average fight?
15 to 20 minutes.
That's a long fight.
Yeah.
That's a long time. People don't get that, but look at your clock right now and then wait 15 minutes from now. That's a long time on a rod.
It could be a little off, but, you know, again, we weren't using heavy tackle and
weren't
trying to
haul
something.
That's a really, really good fight. Yeah. I mean, to me, that's exactly what you're looking for out there. Average fight on a bass is probably less than a minute.
Yeah.
You know, a long fight with a bass would be a couple of minutes, 2-3 minutes tops, but... Yeah. And that's pretty spectacular. And then to get into a black drum where the fight is 15 plus, even 10 minutes is a long time on a rod.
Now, here's the worst thing that happened to us that day. We're...
dun, 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 dun.
We're the only ones on them. You know, we're the only boat there. And a guide sees one of us hooked up, comes pulling up. He was thinking we were on tarpon. And, oh, no, you're on the drum. He comes right up, puts his customers on the drum, and I said, okay, I'm okay with that, right? But I think about, what if I was the guy that come up on the guide out there on a school drum?
If the situation were reversed, he would have been screaming, hollering, jumping up and down, waving his hands, flipping you off, and all that, you know, just, you know, like, oh, gee, this is what you got, okay.
But it was all good, because I don't get to my nose bent out of joint over it until he gets on the phone and calls another guide to say, hey, I'm on the school of drum. And the next thing you know, we had 8 boats on that Skula drum within no time at all.
Right.
It was almost like someone pressed, paged about 15 people. And so it was a party of boats all over that Skula drum. And when that happened, while we could still stay on them, the bite turned off.
Right. I mean, what do they expect?
And we had boats everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of noise, a lot of distraction. They're trying to, catch a snack, do the boy-girl thing, They're trying to, snuggle up a little bit. It'd be like somebody bringing a motorcycle into your bedroom, while you're on your, while you're on a date, know. Just not the way it's going to work out.
But
right.
But again, I assume they're gone now. I don't know where they were heading. Where were they spawning?
It happens every year, but it's usually every few years the schools and stuff are as big as they are this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's an annual event, and it's been going on forever. It's just that, when we tell people about it, they start looking for it. And if you're not looking for it, most people are so, they leave from a spot and they know where they're going, and they're so fixated on getting where they're going, they don't see where they are. And so they're not looking for that stuff. As we start talking about it, you're behind the counter a lot, and you're talking to somebody, and you start mentioning that, and they start asking questions, and before you know it, they found it.
Yep.
It's the same as you. You're pretty new down here. It's only been a few years, and if you're not looking for something like that, if you're not training yourself to actually see that it's not a bunch of waves or a boat wake, that it's actually a school of fish, you don't see it. I always equate it to when I first started working in Europe, trying to read German. I mean, I would look at all this stuff and it just didn't make any sense. I could see it. It was right there, but it made no sense.
Yeah.
Now, after being there for a while, then the words started coming together and I started understanding what all this stuff did. And before long, I sprach ein wenig Deutsch. But it's the same thing with learning the water. You have to learn what this means, what that means, what this type of swirl is, what that type of wave is. That's how you find that stuff. And it's retraining your brain to learn that language.
Yep.
So, anyway, that's a frankism. Not necessarily to be a truism, but that is a frankism. That's my story. I'm sticking to it because I'm frank. I get to make up my own darn stories.
Yep.
One of the things that's going on, have you seen any tarpon out there?
I haven't. But we have, we haven't been out that much, but in the harbor, I can't say that I've seen any tarpon, but I do know members in our club are doing pretty good getting on tarpon. A lot of them are fishing the pass at night.
It's a pass thing right now.
Yeah.
There's no way around it. If you want tarpon right now, you got to get out around the passes, whether you're using bait, jigs, whatever your, particular thing is to use. A lot of different ways of catching them. Now, when I'm out there and I'm throwing the small crabs, the one thing I try and do is I'm sitting in the boat and I see this pot of tarpon behind the boat. I don't throw at the tarpon.
Yeah.
I throw up current, allowing the crab to have time to get down into the water and come at those fish more naturally as it's just flowing with the current. And I do better on the hookups. When I'm trying to throw right at those rolling fish, the hookup ratio is horrible. Trying to get a bite out of a school of fish that are just flopping all around, they don't seem to do it. But if I can throw that crab up current from where I am, say the fish are to my left, down current, I'm going to throw as far up into the right as I can, away from the boat, and just that gives it time to get down into the water. The water's grabbing the line, it's grabbing the bait, and it just swings it right into the fish. I do better on my hookups that way.
Yeah.
But, and basically right now, tarpon fishing with bait is like a grouper rig. A little longer leader, but other than that, it's basically a sinker, swivel, and why not use a swivel? You got the big sinker there. What's the difference? That swivel is not going to spook one more fish than that big old sinker there. And the sinker, or the swivel will keep the sinker away from your hook better.
Yeah. Now, I haven't been getting any, hearing any reports from the guys in the club and gals in the club that are tarpon fishing that they've been doing well with bait busters just yet.
It seems to be the Rapala subwalk. You going to get any of your people throwing this thing yet?
I don't know.
This is, you know, the sleeper hit of last year, and it was all on the QT, you know, and the guys who were telling me about it, they were trying to get him. We were ordering bunches for him. They swore me to secrecy for last season, but this isn't last season. Nobody said you got to be secret this year, so I'm telling everybody about it. But it's the Rapala Miracle one. You walk the dog just like a Zara Spook or a Skitter Walk, but it's underwater. And this thing's been just rocking them. But now, if you're going to do tarpon with it, flatten the barbs on the front treble hook, not because of the fish. Fish, I mean, tarpon eats catfish and live blue crabs and stuff like that. It's not really hurting them. But if you get the hook in you, you want to be able to get it out. You do not want to be attached to a 150-pound fish by a treble hook.
Yep.
You want the hook to go in, you want the hook to come out. But on the back one, take that big VMC single hook treble replacement. It's a hook specifically designed so you can take your treble hook off, put a single hook on the back, and your hookup ratio is going to go way up. Your release ratio is much easier. You're dealing with a single hook. But the weird thing is you cannot take the front treble hook off and replace it with a single hook and get any action. Well, it's all out of balance.
Kind of going down the path of a hook. We had a member that had a tarpon, a good-sized tarpon hooked up. And the tarpon skied and landed in their boat, center console boat. And from what I understand, it was, according to the individual, it was a minute of terror, of sheer terror. As, you know, you're talking 150-pound tarpon smashing through the boat,
now,
trying to get out of there.
Let's say you're one of our wonderful friends, viewers, who come down to visit us from Canada. All right, or Wisconsin, or Minnesota, or pick a state, Ohio, New York, whatever you are. And if you've ever fished with shiners for bass, have you ever gone to a store and bought a dozen shiners, ever accidentally drop one and watch it start flipping and bouncing around? Okay, now times that by like 3,000, because that fish doesn't even weigh, you know, it weighs maybe a quarter of an ounce. Now we're talking 150 pounds of the exact same thing. So when you've got a fish that's 150 pounds, who's used to swinging his tail to propel himself through the water, has enough power in the tail to push him, that whole fish, 150 pounds, 6 feet out of the water. Can you imagine this, like hitting your center console with a 12-inch wide sledgehammer? Bam! Bam, bam.
And that was what was described. It sounded, according to what I'm hearing, it sounded like someone with a sledgehammer just banging away at the boat.
Yeah, I mean, and what's funny is it's actually easier on the fish than it is on the people. The fish is definitely beat up when it's all over. You got to sit there and wait for him to get tired. But if you got half a heart, you're going to pick him up, put him in the water, and hold him. The whole thing about it is the inside of your boat is entirely covered in poop and slime, and if things are very unfortunate, a little bit of blood. But the poop that comes out of a tarpon is extraordinary. I mean, we're not talking. I mean, picture. I mean, a 150-pound person with it just ate a big meal with a case of diarrhea all over your boat. I mean, this is big. It's like the giant ladyfish. If you've ever caught a ladyfish and they poop all over the boat, the first time I ever caught a tarpon.
Just imagine a 150-pound ladyfish.
Yeah, 150-pound ladyfish. I brought him up into the boat. I had no idea what it was. I had only been fishing here a couple of weeks. We're out at night, big rod, and I'm going to do big fish, you know, and all of a sudden, I hook up with something. You could see it jumping and everything else. We didn't have much for flashlights or anything, an old boat. And brought that thing in. I thought, okay, I got up next to the boat. I just grabbed it and pulled. Never even bothered to look to see if it had teeth. Really stupid when I was young. And I'm not that bright now, but at least, I mean, I'm not crazy now. So anyway, I grab this fish. We pull it in. And then it starts going berserk. You know how sometimes they'll just come to the boat? You know, they do a couple of jumps and they kind of come. Well, I had no idea. They're literally, it was an 18-foot boat with a front deck and a center console and all that. There must have been a half inch of poop from one end of that boat to the other. I mean, yeah. What an experience.
Well, you know, aside from the mess that they make, hopefully this guy bought his rods here at Frank's and has got that in-store warranty, because it damaged center console, destroyed rods. I mean, it was like I said, a minute of sheer terror, and then the tarpon jumped out of the boat.
Wow. Yeah. That's cool. I've always had to lift them out. It's happened to me.
But again, this is second hand, passing on, but not a pleasant experience. And
I disagree. It's entirely amazing. It's a story they're going to have for the rest of their life. Cost them a little bit of money, but what would you pay for a vacation to have that kind of memory? No, that was cheap for the memory, and it's to me, it's spectacular.
Well, nobody hurt, so I guess it's a good memory.
The main thing to remember is do not jump out of the boat. That is not a good idea. Run to the other end of the boat, and if you're entirely unlucky, you'll be playing ring around the center console with the tarpon. I've had to do that a couple times with me and my customers when somebody else's fish landed in the boat or one of ours. And literally, okay, everybody, run up to the front. All right, everybody's at the front. Run down to the back. It's crazy how that all goes on.
So let me ask the dumb question, Frank. Why would you not jump out of the boat to get away from that big tarpon smashing your boat up?
Just go to the other end. What happened that made that fish come out of the water?
Maybe a 12, 14-foot hammer?
Oh, could be. There ain't no way in heck I'm leaving a perfectly good boat. I can play Ring Around the Rosie just fine, especially at night. I am not jumping in the water when I have no idea what's down there. Yeah. You know, during the day, maybe, maybe not. But then I still got to get my old butt back into that boat. I got to tell you, it's a lot harder than you think if you're not in shallow water. In shallow water, you kind of jump up and get yourself in. But in deep water, that's a booger to get back in that boat.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was 20, 23, I could bounce in and out like I was made out of, Indian rubber. But, boy, now, I'm made out of old clay and elastic, bungee cords I've sat in the sun for 58 years. No way. I'm staying in the boat.
Now, from what I'm seeing coming in this month from the club, the fishing's been pretty good. Trout has been really good on the east wall. Guys are bringing in redfish and reporting those offshore, still having to go pretty far, but they're getting out and they're catching some nice amberjacks, some nice big reds, but they're going far for them.
But
generally the fishing's been pretty good.
I'm literally kind of surprised by one thing. Triple tail. How many triple tail have been around right now? It's crazy. They're in the harbor, they're still around in the Gulf. And triple tail fishing is phenomenal, one of the best eating fish on the planet, and they're tricky. Dumbest fish ever. I mean, literally the dumbest fish. And it's like playing peekaboo with a 2 or 3 year old or a year old kid, because if you cover their eyes, they can't see you. You went away. They uncover their eyes and there you are. Well, here's a fish that, and I like fishing for the big ones, but even the small ones, they put their face up under something on top of the water, and their eyes are shaded, and they figure they're hidden. Here's the rest of their body sticking out. I mean, you got a sometimes 26-inch, 27-inch fish, and it's built just like a crappie. So if it's 27 inches long, it's 15, 16 inches high.
Thinking like an ostrich.
Yeah, and they just put their head up there. Oh, well, I can't see you. You can't see me. But for all that, if you come at them the wrong way, they go down. You never see them again. If you cast behind them instead of in front of them, they go down. You never see them again. It's kind of like cobia. Dumbest fish ever, but tricky, tricky to catch.
Yeah.
And you're catching them right next to obstructions like crab traps, markers. So you got the rope there. You got the pilings there. There's always something there. Except the biggest one I ever caught, and that was under a little potato chip bag, snack size bag. Not the big family bag, the little tiny snack bag. He had his face up underneath it. He was 30-some inches long. Beautiful. Wow. Triple tail. But he was just sitting there hiding. I dropped that shrimp right on the other side of the bag. He grabbed it. It's on like Donkey Kong. Yep. It was amazing. But getting back, lots of sharks in the harbor. What else is there? Redfish down around Mount Lachey seems to be really good right now. South of Mount Lachey, a little bit north, right around Mount Lachey. Redfish on the east side of the harbor doing pretty good. A little bit up around the Mica Cutoff. But snook, the further you get to Bolt Bay, Turtle Bay, the more snook there are. This freshwater rains we're having, pushing them all out nicely to the Gulf. It's going to be a great spawn this year. Look for excellent snook populations in for the next couple years. Lots of snook. They're moving along the beaches. It's a great time for that catch-and-release snook fishing. Plenty of tarpon if you want to go to the pass. We're waiting on calls from captains today so we can change the map, find out where they're going, because they should be, half of them should be done with the whole pass thing. You know, they should be able to get that spawn going, heading out in the deep water at night, finishing the spawn, coming back. There's one more big spawn coming up in June, but then that'll probably be over. But they should be scattering back through the harbor along the beaches and the intercoastal now, but I don't know what's going on. I got to call some captains and find out. So anything else we need to go on about?
Cobia, I mean, you know, that's the fish of the month in our club, and we've had members turning them in. You know, Darlene and I got onto some cobia about a week and a half ago, and but there, you still got to, they're hard work right now.
They're hard to find. You're better being lucky than good right now.
Yeah.
How'd you come on yours?
We were just drifting along to East Wall, right around Burnt Store, and we got in. We actually caught several.
Yeah, but that's at a time when it's great to be lucky, but it's also good to be good. Otherwise, you would have caught the one and not any of the other ones. But you know, that's a good blend of both.
Yeah.
What did you catch them on before we go too far?
Live shrimp.
Freeline, bobber, sinker.
Sinker. Using split shot.
Gotcha. So they were hitting deeper.
Yeah.
I'll be darned. It's always kind of curious, you know, and so one thing I try not to forget to ask. So the cobia were hitting deeper. A lot of times you're freelining because they're going to nab it close to the surface, but these fish were hitting down lower.
Yeah. And we ended up getting into a lot of shark. I mean, just one bonnet head after another. It was actually getting irritated, but there's a lot of small shark out there right now. And I made the mistake of on a tarpon rod, 6500 class reel, I put a ladyfish on it, and see what we can get while we're fishing lighter tackle. And of all things, about a 7-foot bull shark hits it. That ended our fishing trip because we spent the next hour and maybe 20 minutes fighting that bull shark.
They're amazing, aren't they?
Yeah, the thing was a tank.
Yeah, and that's all they are. They're the craziest, most unpredictable shark in all of the water. You could get one that will come up and nuzzle you. I mean, you could pet it, and then 5 minutes later, it's going to turn around and tear your leg off.
Yeah.
You have no idea what a bull shark would do. It could come up and literally be almost loving, and then all of a sudden, they're nuts. There's no pattern to a bull shark. It's not like they get on something. I mean, I've seen them follow people. They get curious about something, and they will just stay on it. People have been trapped on rocks and other things because they don't back off. And sometimes they just completely ignore you. You know, I've had them bump me when I've had fish on my stringer. Like, I want the fish. You're in the way.
Yeah.
And luckily, they didn't snap at me. They just kind of hit me. And you know.
Well, I can tell you, once I knew we had a big shark on, you know, obviously that's not what we were wanting. I can't tell you how many times I just wanted to cut the line off, but I, you know, wanted to get him close to the boat.
It's not good. And you don't want to leave a leash on a fish. Yeah. Accidents are accidents, but intentionally doing that, that's bad.
No, we didn't go there. So. We ended up, we spent, you know, over an hour wrestling that thing until we got him to the boat, and then we were able to get, you know, get a hook out of him and send him
free. I just had this picture in my head. Here's a guy, he's sitting there in Iowa, listening to us while he's, you know, working on a car or whatever, you know, and or whatever state, pick it, Pennsylvania, you know, he's waiting to see if what's going to happen in the world, and he's listening to the show, and he's thinking, that guy just spent an hour and a half fighting a 7-foot, probably close to 300-pound shark. He's going, you know, this was really annoying.
It wasn't what we wanted.
This wasn't what we wanted. I didn't want to spend an hour and a half fighting this big fish. I just, you know, this was, oh, my God, I had to fight this shark.
That doesn't sound right, doesn't it?
Literally, if a guy walks up to you and just bats you in the back of the head with, like, a gib slap, you know, he's going to say, what were you thinking? You know, here he is. He's saved all year to get enough money to come down to Florida, hires a boat, gets him out there, and he catches, you know, some sharks, but he doesn't get that 7-foot, 300-pound fish that takes an hour and a half to battle him up and everything. And my man, Vin, I had to fight him for an hour and a half. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm sorry, Vinny, but I just had this picture in my flash in my head. You know, some poor guy who's in, you know, Toronto or Quebec or something. And we, you know, my heart goes out so much to those people up in by the Shell oil pits and all that, where those fires are up there in Canada, that Fort McClearney or whatever.
Yeah.
Man, those poor people and the tornadoes and all that. Our condolences down here from Fish and Franks. We're down here having fun fishing, and you guys are having such a bad time. But Canada, we love you, buddies. You know, wish you the best. So, anyway, anything else we should talk about that you can make fun of our listeners about?
Well, Frank, let's pick your brain a little bit. Next month is flounder.
All right. I think we're going to wait on doing the flounder. And that'll be our next show.
All right.
So why don't we do that next week?
Okay.
We'll get maybe a couple of call-in people or something and build a flounder show for next week on Vinny's Mad World of Fishing.
Sounds good.
All right. And in the meantime, this is Fish and Frank in the chair, and that's Vinny in the chair across from me with the unauthorized version of Vinny's Mad World of Fishing. But it's Fish and Frank here in the chair, Vinny in the chair across from me, obviously. And everybody just kind of give a big awe for Vinny having to catch that big shark.
I'll never talk that way again.
All right, guys. Thank you, boys and girls, for listening. We'll catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Fish and Frank, bye.